Call the meeting to order. It's 6 o'clock on February 13th, 2019. We'll correct that here. And we'll have roll call.
President Shelley?
Here.
Steve Kunkel?
Here.
Dave Hunt?
Here.
Peter Zabadi?
Here.
Les Jin?
Here.
Everybody's here.
Everyone's here.
Everybody's here.
We will have a moment in silence for the passing of Terry Lyons. He was a general manager here at Water District, and we'll observe that. All right. We appreciate all the effort and work that he put in when he was here as an employee. We appreciate him. And we hope that his family is remembered fondly also. We appreciate their supporting him while he worked here. This is a special workshop, but even at a special workshop, we have public comment. Is there any public comment? No? Okay, great. We'll go right into our workshop for tonight. We have some people that have presented some stuff. We'll start at the right here. Mr. Hunt, would you like to go over what you prepared? I like it.
Well, I originally set up three goals for the general manager and three goals for the field supervisor. So do the general manager first, then I'll also include my three that I don't have copies of that I had for field supervisor since doing double duty. So I thought the completion of the Village Center Drive Pipeline Project is probably my number one priority in that it stays within budget and also within the timeline to coincide with the county repaving plan, so we don't need to repave it ourselves. And also to incorporate some employee training, whether it's just our employees watching what gets done. You know, I don't think they'd get in there and do much of the work, but I think if you kind of explain what's happening and they can see things that are happening, the way it's done, I thought that'd be nice. The second important one I thought would be improve community relations. I thought we could maybe work on designing and implementing a monthly newsletter, or even if it's just doing something a little different in our billing thing besides just that one little block of text, I think more user-friendly and fun things to look at that would actually get people to read it. I think it'd be nice to have monthly lunch meetings with Fern Valley and Pine Cove general managers, so all three of them could get together and talk, and I think that would help the community to see that we're getting along with the other water districts. And also meeting with the San Jacinto Mountain Watershed Watchdog and any other community members that would like to get together in some kind of monthly meeting. I think all three of those things would improve the community relations. And finally, implement some kind of continuous improvement program. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Deming philosophy, but Dr. Deming was basically what turned Japan around after World War II to become the number one manufacturer in the world, turn the car companies around and all that. So when you see how good Toyota reliability is, it's because of Dr. Deming's philosophy on continuing improvement and that you never really achieve your goal. And then once you get some kind of a continuous improvement plan going, distribute it to all the employees and board members so we know and the employees know what you're doing and what you expect out of them, and empower the employees to actively and voluntarily participate in the program, not do something because they're told to do it, but actually want to do it and have that actual buy-in. So those three, and then quickly, when we were talking about the field supervisor, I wanted to evaluate all the wells that we have, determine if rehabilitation is warranted for increased productivity. I wanted to implement a proactive chemical testing program so if we do have any problems like we've had in the past, we can nip it in the bud before it gets out of control. And so I was happy to hear that our current general manager has a lot of chemical testing background. Just basic testing, not the real complicated stuff that we have to send away for. And develop and implement an in-house training program so we can teach our employees how to lay pipeline, work on wastewater cross training so they can work in the wastewater program also, and some kind of grassroots training program so that we can get entry level, hopefully local entry level students that could take the Mount San Jacinto program that have lived here and grown up here and just work their way up to eventually becoming general manager themselves.
Very good. Mr. Kunkel, are any questions for Mr. Hunt by the rest of the board members? Okay. Mr. Kunkel.
On my list here, it was kind of hard to come up with three most important ones, but I think I got it here. And one was field operations, just a lot of those ones below there, those line items was just had to do with field operations, but being field operations and maybe including a little bit of the office here, but being as self-sufficient as much as possible, doing as much things in-house as possible. But like the three things I was looking at that I thought were pretty important was the field operation and all those items, and then eventually hiring a field supervisor. I think that's important to go along with the general manager. I don't believe the general manager can do it all by himself. I think it's going to be a team effort, but finding the right person for field supervisor to take that part of it, and then the general manager can focus more on the other stuff in the office, other things going on here. The other thing on that first line there was explore and expand water sources. So meaning drill some more wells, hopefully get some profitable or water producing wells, making sure our the wells that we have are all working and working as best they can. And I didn't put that, but that includes the horizontal too up behind the lake. I think it's important that we get some more, well, it's going to have to be probably downtown water sources, not up at Foster Lake. We don't always know what could happen without rain or the lake filling up, and having to rely on that to get more self-sufficient on sources down here in the Idaho area on that. I did put on here, and I've been asking for that. I mean, I know the board had voted on to get the water line there on Village Center. I wanted to do that, but I still feel that there's that one line on Elk Lane. It's going from Marion View up to, I think it's Crestview there. It's a transmission line, a big one. I think it's 8-inch. We've been putting it off that before Jack came on board, and when Tom
Lynch.
Lynch was here, there's a line that goes right through the property. It goes up street to street, and it goes through it on Baldrige's property. Now it's Lauren's property.
Yeah.
But it used to be a dirt kind of driveway, and then he paved it, and then there was a leak in there, and they cut a hole there, and they put a band, I think, on it, but they put a steel plate over it and left it that way for about a year, and really ticked off the owner. And I don't think we want to go through having a leak there again, or that the deal with the owner there. I think that's important, that either a new water line up through there, and maybe modify things a little up on the high end before it goes to Crestview with some of the meters. Or else maybe line it there. So that's one of my priorities. Would like to, if we were going to, if we weren't able to do the Village Center line, maybe do that or do it also there. I don't know about doing it in-house, but getting a crew to come in here and do that. That's an important part. It goes from Foster Lake, you know, through town and then on up to Southridge, just to bigger lines, just to balance things out. So whenever water's going one way or the other, that's an important line there.
But Jack fixed it, by the way. He fixed, he removes the steel and he fixes the concrete right now.
Okay, I'm sorry to left that out. Yeah, so it is, yeah, the driver's like fixed,
to,
but...
Like to edit a little bit, yeah. Jack ordered Smith to put a concrete and fixes the driveway.
But he will Steve, not allow us on the property.
Yeah, he will not.
Even though we have an easement.
He will not. No, no way. No way. But he fixes, he removes the steel with the concrete.
Yeah. So yeah, the other items there kind of go along with, I think, the field operations and being self-sufficient just there. And then just down at the bottom in bolder letters, just ongoing things. So just that water rights with the diversion up there, and then the latest complaint there, just having to deal with that. So those were some of my goals for the month.
Any questions from Mr. Kunkel?
Well, a comment on the Lawrence line, the L plane. Jack and I were talking about it, about putting a liner in that line so we don't have to worry about a leak without having to replace it. Apparently it's some kind of plastic liner that they can install in it. And I have a feeling there may be a non-metered line coming off of that one, and that would solve that problem at the same time. So we might look into that.
Yeah, I would recommend, yeah, looking either way to see what is feasible with the there.
I have a question, Steve, on drilling wells, especially in the downtown area. How many wells do you think we can drill before we have too many straws in the same cup type thing?
Well, yeah, I don't have a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can have geologists. There's different ways of looking, trying to look for water. Geologists, they do their best. They're not always on track there. You can have water witchers. They're good, some of them, some mm-hmm. of them not. But it just all depends. I mean, we have a couple wells up at County Park, the Nature Center. Those are pretty close. Those are influenced like off of each other when you're, so that's not good. We had a fellow back, I forget how many years ago, 20 years ago, that he was a water witcher. He pulled up that Stratton well site. He pulled up the Curtin well site. He pulled up the Donahue well site. And those were good producing. He said that there's enough water down by Stratton and Curtis, the one down on Village Center mm-hmm. there, and then the other one at the Rainbow Inn or mm-hmm. there. He says that area there, there is enough water to put another straw in.
Okay.
There. So, yeah, these are all guesses. I mean, try to.
Now, do we have a property there, or we would have to negotiate something?
Well, there's a piece of property there that, that we'd have to negotiate there with someone to drill there. But I feel that with his advice and what his past history, that that would be a possible source for water. Mm-hmm. There, we do have the high power, the three-phase power going through there, so in the infrastructure, so that would be, if it produced, would be to our benefit. Where else in town? I mean, I don't, you know, people have wells on their property. I think Jack probably tried to do some of that finding in.
I just like wells at higher elevation, of course. But sometimes at higher elevation, you have even more of a problem of finding water. I mean, in those areas, it seems like a very good area for water. But we just have to pump it.
At one time, Astral Camp, that the dorms down at the entrance on the top of Saunders Meadow there, there's a road that goes down to those dorms down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were going to, years ago, this was probably 10, 15,
20 years ago, they were possibly going to give us a well site there. But I think one of the engineers said that the water quality, he believed, probably wasn't good enough for doing it there. So we didn't go any further. But that's another place, maybe to drill well in there. It's that draw goes down, I think, right as you go down the highway, right before the road, back up to the dump there, that where they sled and stuff down the hill. I think that's kind of that draw from where the dorm is that comes down there, that in that area. But it's behind the dorm that we looked at there.
Where there's a leak always in the road, so there's water coming right up out of the road there.
Down the road, yeah.
We could just put the well right there. I mean, if there's already water coming out of the road, it should be.
There you go. That's a great idea.
Yeah. It seems like behind Foster Lake has a lot of potential, I think, besides horizontal wells, to do some vertical wells back there, since we already own the land anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and that's true.
The higher elevation would give us the water pressure.
Yeah.
Well, they've tried in the past, Drew, and we got a lot of capped off wells up there that don't produce. So it's, at least from experience, they've tried to do that in the past. Mm-hmm. And, there's maps that will show you all the different areas. So
I thought some of those capped off ones were just because there was no electricity to them.
No, there is one well. See, this is if we can figure out how to get water or a line down to our system. That up when you take that road behind the lake to go up to Thousand Trails, mm-hmm. up near the top, I think it's well number 21, maybe.
11, maybe.
Right where they
past Sawmill 10 and on up, almost before the gate or up near to get onto Thousand Trails. There is a well up there. It produces when we used it before. And this was, we had to go through Pine Cove, their distribution line, because they have wells up in that area too. And there was electric there, and we pumped it to Pine Cove, and then they brought it back. You know, we got water down there at Foster Lake, but we had to use their line to get it down. Yeah. But it was about a 20 gallon a minute well. Mm. But it's like, we don't have a line going up that road all the way up to it. So if someone can figure out that or trade with Pine Cove or something, maybe.
Or have our guys practice laying line back there on their own property without traffic control or anything.
Yeah, it's a possibility too. But one of the things in the past, people have different philosophies of drilling well, but when Bill Whitener was here, he always thought that when there was a big cedar tree, that was where there was
the water.
And he'd try, you could see some of them, and they were abandoned. I mean, some of them just didn't produce, so they filled them back in. But yeah. We drilled one time, we just had them up there drilling, trying to see where water. And some of them they capped off, other ones they just filled back in because there was nothing there.
Mm-hmm. All right, if there's no other questions, Mr. Jin?
No, I'm okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Mr. Sabati?
So I have a number of these things which I wrote out. One of them, I noticed that the communication between the field and the office needs a great deal of improvement. There are not sufficient procedural set up between dealing with each other. I think there's general distrust on both sides. People on the field think the office people don't know what they're doing. Office people likewise think that the people in the field don't know what they're doing. And I don't think it's clear that they understand each other's functions to begin with. For example, if there's a need to check on a meter or there's a problem, there's not sufficient, they don't have a response in a sufficient time, etc. Maybe the office doesn't quite understand what the field office is doing, therefore they can't immediately respond to a request for information or need. So there should be some procedure laid down quite clearly how they should work with each other. You should also learn more about the importance of each function so they understand what the other person is doing and develop some trust in each other's abilities. I think that's a very important question. I think that we need to, the general manager should have a full assessment of the abilities of each of the member of our staff, and they should share it with us so appropriate training could be done for each particular person. There should be cross-training between water and the waste side. So
one could, in a case of emergency, go to the other side, etc. I would like, our general manager obviously learning his job, it's going to take some time for him to feel familiar with what we have to do here. I would like a report from the general manager how this is progressing in learning his job and within the specifics of this particular water district. As part of the general manager's report to us at each of the public meetings, I would like him to tell us in advance what he expects to, if there are any substantial sums to be spent in the next 60 days, or are there reports which should be prepared for a particular state agency so we can follow up on it to make sure that those things get done in time. So there should be, the general manager's report shouldn't be just saying the water is great and we're drinking it. It should say, this is what I foresee problems in the future, or these are the programs I'm working on, or these are the reports that are coming in, so we have a sense in advance what's going to be happening. Again, back to the field manager, I think within the next couple of months, the general manager should give us a sense whether we need a field manager. Is this something that we can promote from within? Should we look for one, et cetera, et cetera? So I think I want to give him some time to make that determination, but I think it should be done quite soon. As far as long-term goals are concerned, again, the same thing as everybody else, is upgrade, to maintain the water delivery system, the wastewater system, develop some kind of training for the pipe replacement. In case we are doing the pipe project that was scheduled for this summer, and I understand there's some question whether we're going to do it or not. In case that comes down, maybe there should be an opportunity for at least our staff to participate, if you can't do it in-house, but participate with the general contractors coming in. So it could be a learning experience. There should be an assessment of our ability to meet the increased needs of our customers, and in this case, I'm thinking about increased commercial needs. I think there are more businesses coming, more motels and hotels, et cetera, and how that extra expense should be met, and maybe with the greatest sharing of new commercial customers or commercial customers in general. Develop some kind of plan in case there is a negative ruling as far as our water rights concerned, some kind of contingency plan. How are we going to meet our needs if we lose our rights of transferring water from Strawberry to the lake, or even further, if there's some question about our ability to use the wells around Foster Lake, and develop the horizontal wells. Those are my thoughts.
Any questions for Mr. Zabadi?
I just had one. On the communication between the office staff and the field staff, I feel like the general manager is usually the person that each of those would go to. Are you suggesting that he implement some type of program that they have more communications, or that he delineates their communications, or that he clarifies responsibilities?
I think clarify, one simple thing would be if the office staff said contact, well, previously under Jack, I think what's happening, the office staff directly went to somebody in the field to do certain things, because that person in fact was cooperating and was doing most of the things to begin with. And since Mike has come in, and I think correctly so, all the requests are made to Jerry, who is in charge of the field to begin with. But Jerry doesn't respond saying, I'm gonna go do this in an hour, and 2 hours, and 3 hours, and 4 hours. There should be something like a logging. I asked you to do this. The person say, I think I can do it in 3 hours, and doesn't do it in 3 hours, calls back the person here in the office say, I couldn't do it because, or whatever. Okay. But those kind of things. I mean, obviously, data form, some request about doing another reading, was there a mistake on the meter? They don't have to go to Mike. It's something they handle, you know, all the time.
Thank you.
So that's kind of procedural kind of stuff. So they understand, I mean, the field staff understands that these people in the office must respond to the public, essentially. And if the public says, I already called you three times, yeah, there's no response, they right. should have some kind of answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, I agree with you.
Okay, thank you. My short-term goals would be stuff that are pretty obvious, but at the same time, they seem to be taking, well, they take time. Finishing the weir, the weir should be one of our priorities on getting it finished as soon as possible. It seems like we've already spent a lot of time and energy on it, so the sooner that would get finished, completely finished, the better. So I think a lot of focus on that should be there. Finish the GAC. I understand it's almost in place and there's some more things that need to be done, but I think that should be a big focus, is finishing the GAC. And then I don't have a third one for short terms. I have a fourth one, or a third one for our long term, which would be replace pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a real big proponent of replacing this pipe or that pipe. I'm a big proponent of making sure that we're doing pipe replacement, because we've been not as good at that as we could have been in before I started here. And we haven't done a lot since I've been here. So I'd like to see us put more pipe in the ground. And in that, I agree with what many of the other directors have said. I'd like to see as much as we can in-house, but I know that we're going to have to contract for some of it. And cross-training. I think cross-training is a great thing, and I think that that is something that we've asked for when we flew the position. So I think, and talked to the people that wanted the position, so I think that's going to happen. I also like the horizontal wells because they're up high. I talked to a community member that says that there are some people that still have knowledge of those and how to get those working a little bit better. I've personally come across some of them and seen some of the piping, and it's not that complicated to fix. It's just 2-inch or maybe 3-inch PVC pipe. And quite frankly, that's probably the easiest stuff in the world to work with. You get some glue and you cut it and you get a coupling and replace the pipe. And if you want to, you can actually dig and put it in the ground, which would be even better. So I like that idea too, of the horizontal pipes. So as a board, we've presented a lot of things here, and some of them coincide. Some of them might give the general manager a little bit too much, and so we might have to narrow those down. But we'll ask the general manager at this point what he has heard and whether he thinks this is... Well, we asked Mr. Jin, and Mr. Jin passed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And so we'll ask the general manager if there's anything on here that he feels is overwhelming, or anything that he feels like, oh, we can get that done in a week, or if we need to narrow this down for him, too much, too little. What do you think we need to do here?
I don't think it's too much. It's a question of organizing our plan of attacks on all these issues. A lot of them overlap, and that's what I propose to present in next week's board meeting, is my plan of attack status of certain projects that I've inherited and others that I will instigate to get us on track. And I think they'll address all of your issues. I'm just not sure of the time element, but I feel confident these are doable things. And I just have to look closely and analyze each and every one of them and say, how do we attack this issue?
Mm-hmm.
The other issue I will look at is just the workload schedule and getting things. If we increase activities to better define what everybody's role is and cross-train, then we have to allow that other issues might be not as progressive. Now, I'm committed to get this weir done as quickly as possible. Same with the GAC. I'm dedicating time dealing with the issue with Foster Lake and the diversion, and cross-training staff. Janine's already developed something I'll show you next week that's going to help us identify where the training has to be. And then the challenge will be scheduling it in so I can send an extra person to a job site because they don't have familiarity with locating pipeline or backhoe, things like that. And I've worked with I had a meeting today with JPIA and talking about different issues as it relates to security, or not security, but safety. And we'll incorporate that into SOPs and remind everybody that it's very important they protect themselves and that we don't incur injuries because we're trying to do more than we recently have. So I think I can put something together as an update next week that'll show you some things I have in the works, other things I'm going to be targeting once the weather might get a bit better, although I'm glad to see this weather. And I was telling Dr. Shelley, I said, I'm going to try to take credit for the weather. Got that, JP?
I heard it.
Doesn't mean I'm going to take credit next year if we have a drought. But I like all the thoughts that you put out in front of me. And most of those, and even Hosley knows, I've already been looking at. I have a whiteboard in my office, and a lot of those are addressed. So even have some other issues you may or may not find appealing, but I'll bring those up in the board meetings in the months to come.
It's an issue I didn't mention, you know, as JP reported, I think in the paper, there was either an attempt, or at least somebody talked about an attempt to put some materials, LSD or whatever, in the fine water system. So I'm concerned about the security.
I've been looking at that as well.
Of our thing, and that's another issue that we should look into.
And it's on my list.
Okay. So do you think that's the best way? I mean, we gave you a lot of suggestions and maybe too many, etc. So what I think, what I would love, if when you come back with this plan, to give us a sense how long some of these things are going to take. So when we review your performance, we can say, well, within reason. I mean, I'm not saying, give me March 15 by this and that, that kind of stuff. But I think the other thing that I said, it's for me, it's very important that we want to have a sense about what's going to happen next two or three months, what needs to be done, et cetera, et cetera.
My general approach or expectation is I'll have to look back a year from now and really see what I've accomplished.
Yeah.
And I will feel better because I have more things I've got to grasp and organize and work with staff. But I've been impressed with the staff I'm working with. And we're just going to fine-tune it wherever we need to. And I'm excited about it. And I think this is a good opportunity for me and for all of us. This is the way I'm looking at it. So I'll put together as much as I can immediately that would reflect my plan of attack. Some things I already have in motion. And we'll try to come to closure. And I want...
And we fully understand it takes time.
Right, it does.
Come up to speed. So we don't expect you to...
I haven't even hit a month yet. So
don't feel that way. We just want to make sure that you're on the road, and you're on the road that we would like you to be on.
But I need this feedback, so we're on the same page. And
What about the fire hydrants? Do they need to be upgraded, or
that's on my list? I don't know yet. There's some things I have to assess and see how critical it is, and what could be done. I happen to notice, and I may be wrong. Well, I'll refrain from saying that. I'll reserve my opinion on certain things. But anyway, I do recognize that. I want to look at the flushing program. I want to look at a lot of different things that allow us to understand how well our system is performing and not be second-guessed about what we're doing.
I can tell you this. As much criticism as we take for our hydrants, our ISO rating, which is done from an independent evaluation company, is a 2 out of a possibility of 10, 1 being the best.
Okay, good.
We're at a 2.
That's encouraging.
And I think we need to report that out, that we're, you know, if we are up to the standard or above the standard of what would need to happen. I think that's very important.
Yeah, so, and that's a very good reflection of the system that we have in place. Now, we're not the only component to get that rating.
Sure.
But we're a part of that component, and we weren't the weak link. Or else it wouldn't be that high.
Right. But that was just a concern because of the fire that we had.
Right.
To be preventive, be more proactive. And what about the water leakage, or, you know, losing water? I don't know how you would, you know, figure that out, or...
That's something that's typically done by all water agencies. You look at the amount that you're producing, that you're putting into the system, you measure how much you sell, and the difference is a loss, and that mm-hmm. represents money. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, I've heard on average 10% or less is considered a good system. And I know that times have been here in other agencies where they've exceeded those percentages, and then you have to do a little detective work and try to establish where is that mm-hmm. information. Is it a meter that's faulty, or is it actual leaks that have increased that we haven't repaired?
Or is it a cannabis farm?
Yeah,
a cannabis farm.
There you go.
But talking about meters, I mean, I've been to conventions, they got all these fancy meters that can just detect up to a drop of where the water, where we're losing it, mm-hmm. and then we have problems where, you know, somebody ends up with a $500 water bill because of whatever reason,
right?
You know, because we have antiquated meters. I don't know. I'm just asking a question because I'm sure, you know, we get some people come in here and say, how'd I end up with a $400 water bill? Maybe we could have prevented that.
Right.
I don't know how that would occur. We say, hey, you know what? We caught it when it was only $100 and there was, you know, some sort of abnormal use or something. Is there a way to detect that or not really?
Not truly. It's just looking at the meters and looking. Other agencies will have a system that'll detect excessive use. Mm-hmm. So that flags it right away, and perhaps they forgot to drain their system, or another option is people steal water from neighbors.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're not honest? Really?
I'm just saying there is intentional theft as opposed to just poor maintenance or maintain their system when they're going to be gone for 3 or 4 months.
And that's what happens. You know, we get a lot of part-time residents that are up here, and they end up with this bill, and then they come here wanting, you know, the water company to say, hey, what are we going to do about this? Can't you waive it? I wasn't here, or I didn't know about it. You should have told me. You know, why did it run up this high? You know.
Exactly.
Again, those are some of the things that I hear out, you know, in the community saying, you know, what can be done about that?
Exactly. That's one thing I want to look at. In fact, in the budget, current budget, there is a look at putting in meters that sounds like a very optimal system to have, starting off with the commercial meters first. And I don't know where the status that is. I guess we haven't committed to it yet. We just have the money in place. But I want to look at that. In fact, I talked to Hosni about it. It'd be nice if we could just demonstrate, say, 5 meters or 10 meters and go through that. But I think we have to buy the software, whether we have 1 or 100.
We need to put it for either way, or other 5.
Right.
One.
Start with your large consumers.
Yes.
They have potential to lose more water because they're using more water.
So, yeah, I think that's very important, you know, either short-term or long-term. I mean, kind of both, where you just say you start out with the short-term, and the long-term goal is to be at this level where we're able to control that more.
Exactly.
Is there some way to monitor leakage in the pipes other than a main break?
I'm sure there is. I don't know what the practical cost would be to install.
Because as far as I know, our plans to replace piping is based on age.
Right, that's one factor.
One factor. But you have no way of saying, well, this section of the pipe leaks much more than the other
side. Sure, oh yeah.
Do you know?
If we respond to leaks and when we repair them, we document that.
Well, that means it breaks. I mean, something actually is coming
leaks.
Up. But a smaller leakage, you would know that.
No, I don't think you can measure that accurately.
Yeah, that's absorbed.
But that would be our goal, to not lose any water.
Right.
And
we started tracking the work order. So
right
now Mike leads them. We're doing the work order, every work order going outside. Tell me, is the distribution line leaking or main line?
Yes,
and it's coming, and she put it in Excel sheet so she can get the report to Mike.
Right. And what we've done in the past at Eastern, for example, was with a GIS system, we can map it. And I could come, if we had such a system, which would be a lot of money right now, we could put it on the screen for you and show you, here's the pattern in this part of our system.
Yeah. Right.
And then that is part of the justification to say we need the pipeline there. And in addition to the age of the pipe and the material and the location, we take all those things into mm-hmm. account, and then that's how I'm working with Herb now to prioritize which lines that we can do in-house, which ones we would have to do through contract, and go from there. So I want to review everything, even though some of these things have been reviewed. My intent is to re-review them so that I have a clear understanding and can make recommendations that you can see the choices or the options that we're faced with.
Is there a method of upgrading old pipes or putting some sieve inside
there? There is, and that's Steve's kind of referring to that too. I don't know much about the technology. I remember years ago I was in a conference in Pasadena, and they were talking about doing most of their system with a sleeving or lining in lieu of digging up
the pipe, put it in new one.
Right. Yeah. Or, well, usually you don't dig it up, you just abandon it and you would dig a new trench and put that new pipe in. So I'm going to ask around, and, mm-hmm. and I've got a lot of contacts in the industry, and so I'm going to look into those kinds of things and what else can we do.
Right.
I know it's a big concern with the project you're talking about on Elk, and that seems like a valid way to approach it, because my first thought is, well, can we go talk to that owner? But perhaps they wouldn't want to talk to us. So if it's an option is to do something off-site that improves that system and ultimately right. protects us from having to go back on the property and repair something.
Right, well, very good. Does any member of the board feel like we haven't given the manager enough direction? Because I feel like we've given him enough direction to come back to us, and he should be able to have condensed what we've given him. And if we need to tweak it after he presents it to us, we can. If any of the board members feel like something was left out at that point, we can emphasize it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this has been very productive and very open, and glad the public was here to help us out. So if there's nothing else, I would go to director's comments, which my only comment would be that I'm very happy that the Sierra snowpack is over 100%, that ours is approaching that also. Mr. Hunt, any closing comments?
I just had a quick question. What kind of percentage of time are you spending in the field, you think, right now?
I'm writing it down in my journal. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but I try to go 3 or 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's for an hour, sometimes it's a couple hours, sometimes it's even more than that. It just depends on what's going on, and I want to have a presence there. And
more than 50%?
50?
More than 50?
No. There's too much going on here to do that right now.
Yeah.
But I want to be in touch and know firsthand. I'm meeting with the staff, and I have a staff meeting tomorrow, and this will kind of factor into how I go about.
That was my next question, is how often are you meeting with staff?
We're having our second staff meeting tomorrow morning, and I'm going to do it on a regular basis, and then I'm also encouraging more discussion of safety issues. And one example would be out front door, make sure we plow the area when customers come in and that the stairs are safely clean and protecting, things like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they aren't, I'm just saying we're going to talk about those kinds of things.
Right. Thank you.
Uncle?
Yeah, just if I, when we're talking about snow plowing, we got a plow for one of the trucks, right?
Right.
Okay, besides the tractor, so we've got a couple.
Right, exactly. I've seen both of them in action last couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just brushing up on that.
Okay, Mr. Jim?
The field supervisor, are you actively, where do you think we are with that? Do you think you need one, or got a feel?
Can you leave the room? No. seriously,
okay, we'll see you later.
He wants to leave.
Well, my first priority is to make the people we have do the job. I have to work with what I have, and I want to make sure they reach their full potential, and I'm working with them. I'm very much on target with the cross training. I'm very familiar with working with small staffs and the necessity of it. They can't just be a specialist in meter reading or the wastewater plant or the water system. So that's going to be the challenge. It's easy to talk about it. Incorporating it on a day-to-day basis is more of the challenge, I think, in documenting what the time is spent, how we're going to certify that they are officially authorized in our opinion and in the JPIA's view that these people are qualified to use a backhoe or to do welding or any of the skills that we need here. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it, is I want to work with who we have.
Along the same line, I think, without saying it openly, some of us feel there is some resistance among the staff
right.
to cross-train, do certain things. Well, and I guess you're facing that also.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And based on that, you'll have to make some decision.
Sure.
In the near.
And I'm already
but
leaning.
But you're not there yet.
No. Okay. I'm leaning in certain directions.
So you're
based
working on it.
Right.
I've worked with sat down with each employee and talked about what they like about this district, where do they see improvement necessary, what can I do to further develop their skills and contributions in the agency. And so we're just going to keep building on that, and I will be able to show you, I'll give you a demonstration chart next week
okay.
that shows the type of training we're going to hold them accountable to.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got something else to do. Go ahead. But just maybe to expand on some of that too, keeping track of things here, that I think at one time we used to have a tracking system for numbers for what kind of a job it was with the staff out there.
Right.
They were out fixing a mainline leak or service line mm-hmm. leak or laying water line, and then even some of the big projects they had right. Numbers. So the was be able to track how much it was
right.
costing, all that, and mm-hmm. then to help that data to help, you know, kind of know what everything, what we're doing.
I don't know what's in place. I'm working in that direction to find out and look at it closer. And as you all may know, that I'm utilizing Herb Bergstrom to help me assess this system and where things were and where they could be in terms of detail and training. SOPs is a big issue. I want to upgrade that. I couldn't find any in some areas, so I want to make sure there's a working SOP for every activity that requires discussion of the safety aspects of it and the skills and so forth. So there's a lot of those things that need to be instilled as part of the training, cross-training, mm-hmm. and whether it's just training them on what they do now,
mm-hmm.
ensuring they know what they need to do.
But then, yeah, but also I think that can also help tracking the employees, seeing where they're, what they're doing, and when they, maybe if it was to put on their time card that, you know, 2 hours here, 2 hours there, just in a grouping of
yeah.
a certain number, and then kind of.
We'll be talking to Austin, through. We'll see what would represent that best. But yeah, it those are all things I'm going to be looking at. There's probably nothing that, unless it's something I've never thought of or heard of before, that I won't be looking at. Some things will come right away, obvious, others will all of a sudden erupt, and then we have to deal with it. And those all attack just as well. That's kind of my approach so far.
Okay, Mike, any general manager's comments at this point?
No.
Okay.
Like I said, I like it.
Great. We'll adjourn the meeting, and next regular Square Jones board meeting is February 20th, 6 p.m., right here.
20th?
Right here.
Yes?
It's next Wednesday night.
Okay.